Good morning. We'd like to welcome all of you to worship this day. We come to the house of the Lord. We give thanks and praise for all of his blessings to us. And we pray that he would be with us as we worship together with one another, as we listen to his word, as we gather at his table, that he would give us forgiveness and strength, that at all times and places we might live for him. Just a couple of, the announcements are all in the bulletin, but just a reminder of the quarterly voters meeting, which will be held today following the worship service. And also on Saturday, November 8th, that you will be hosting the LWML Napoleon Zone Christian Life Workshop, and that will be here. Everything else, while they're all important, I guess you can read them for yourselves. So let us join in worshiping our great God this day as we begin by singing the hymn 869, "With the Lord Begin Your Task."
With the Lord begin your task, Jesus will direct it. For his aid and counsel ask, Jesus will perfect it. Every morn with Jesus rise, and when day is ended, in his name then to him commanded. Let each day begin with prayer, praise and adoration. On the Lord cast every care, he is your salvation. Morning, evening, and at night, Jesus will the tempter's might, with his presence cheer you. With your Savior at your side, those need not alarm you. In his promises confide, and no ill can harm you. All your trust and hope repose in the mighty Master, who in wisdom truly knows how to stem disaster. If your task be thus begun with the Savior's blessing, safely then your course will run toward the promise pressing. Good will follow everywhere, while you here must wander. You at last the joy will share in the mansion yonder. Lord Jesus, every task be to you commended. May your will be done, I ask, until life is ended. Jesus, in your name begun, be the day's endeavor. Grant that be done to your praise forever.
Would you please rise? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We will join together now in the responsive speaking of Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills.
From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved.
He who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, he who keeps Israel
will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day,
nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep
your going out and your coming in
from this time forth and forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear us. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may direct and govern our hearts in all things, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to rise for the Alleluia verse and the reading of the gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, portion of which serves as our text for our meditation today, from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O
Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We join together now in making profession of our Christian faith as we speak together the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe
in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. This is the portion of the service set aside for the instruction of the children. I'd like to have them come and join me for the children's message. How are you today? Oh, I'm sure glad to hear it. And I'm sure glad to see you. Today, well, do you know what month this is? It's October. And at the end of October, Halloween. And that's what the world seems to celebrate. But October 31st is also a very special day, because not only is it Halloween, and with Halloween we always think about people wearing masks. I've got one today. Do you know who this is?
Thomas Jefferson?
Nope, not Thomas Jefferson. Actually, that is Martin Luther. Oh, yeah, Martin Luther. And why would we think about Martin Luther on October 31st?
Oh, wait, I know why.
You do, yeah, okay.
Because it was his birthday.
It was his birthday? Nope.
What?
That was a good guess. But it was on October 31st that he posted 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. In other words, points for discussion on the theory of indulgences. In other words, the idea that you could buy yourself forgiveness of sins. But he taught us that we are saved not because of what we do, but we are saved because of what Jesus has done for us. And I've got some coloring sheets for you to take home today. And this is Luther's seal. You've got a cross, and that's in a heart. You've got a rose, and then there's a circle around it, and then there's a ring around it. Now, any idea what colors those should be? The cross is actually, and it says down here, so you'll know what colors to color them when you get them home. But the cross emphasizes the grace and the goodness of God. The cross should be black because that symbolizes our sins. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Around that is a heart. What color do you think that should be?
Red.
You're right. A red heart represents faith, the gift of God's Spirit, through which he gives us forgiveness and new life and salvation. And then there is a rose around that. And a good guess, but actually the rose would be white, symbolizing the joy, the comfort, and the peace that God provides us through his gospel. And then the background here around the would be blue. You know, like you think about the sky? Okay. But that blue background symbolizing the eternal citizenship that we as believers in Jesus already enjoy. And finally, there's a circle or a ring around all of it. And that color would be yellow or gold, because that tells us just how precious our faith is. And that, and even think about it, where does that ring begin or end? It just keeps on going. Yeah. It strengthens us for life now and life forever with Jesus. That's all for this morning. Thanks for coming up. Got some coloring sheet for each one of you. See, she even knows what you would pick.
Come, my soul, with every care, Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid me pray, and one will not turn away. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. With my burden I begin, Lord, remove this load of sin. Let thy blood for sinners spilled set my conscience free from guilt. Lord, thy rest to me impart, take possession of my heart. There thy blood bought right maintain, and without a rival reign. While I am a pilgrim here, let thy love my spirit cheer, as my journey's end. Show me what is mine to do.
Every hour my strength renew.
Let me live a life of faith. Let me die thy people's death.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The gospel lesson is our text, and it begins, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." This is our text. Jesus has been talking about the end of time. He's also been talking about the persecution that the church is going to endure before the end of time comes. And at times, that persecution will be so severe that God's remnant will eagerly desire the end of time to come quickly. Jesus said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it." But Jesus encouraged his disciples not to lose heart in the middle of persecution. For when the time is right, the Son of Man will come to judge the living and the dead. And here is where today's gospel begins. In light of the fact that the church is going to be persecuted in this world, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Jesus instructs his church, he instructs you and I to pray as long as we are here in this world. Now we have a judge in our story, and that judge was not worthy of his position. Jesus said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man." In other words, this judge was interested in his own comfort, and he really didn't care about the cases that were brought before him. He wasn't interested in the law of God, and he wasn't interested in the opinion of people. He was just interested in his own convenience. How would you like to come before that man in a legal dispute? But unfortunately, the widow in today's parable had no choice. I mean, widows in biblical time had no power or economic clout. They were among the weakest and the most vulnerable members of society. And for this reason, Old Testament law stipulated that the worshiping community should care for them. Well, Jesus didn't give the details of the woman's case because the details of her case aren't relevant to the point of the parable. What we do know is that this woman went to someone who should have helped her in her quest for justice. But the judge saw no gain, no benefit to himself in helping the woman. And so he decided that he would just ignore her. And for a while, he refused. And he hoped that she would just give up and go away, but she didn't. Every morning, he entered his court, and there she was, making her petition. And eventually, he got sick and tired of seeing her. And after a while, he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And ultimately, we know that the woman wore the judge down. He didn't hear her case because it was the right thing to do, but he heard her case because he was sick and tired of seeing her in his court every day. And he simply wanted to get rid of her. And so this parable is a parable of contrasts. Jesus contrasted this unrighteous judge with God, who is righteous and holy. And Jesus taught his disciples that if an unrighteous judge will give justice just to get a nagging widow off his back, how much more will the God of love and mercy ultimately bring justice to his people? See, the judge didn't want to hear from the widow, but I'm going to tell you this morning that God wants to hear from us. And the contrast between God and the unrighteous judge, that's not the only contrast in the parable. There's also the contrast between us and the widow. And although Jesus didn't give the details of the widow's case, we do know that it was a good case. But on the other hand, our case before God is the exact opposite. In fact, if we ever came before the court of the holy and almighty God, he would immediately find us guilty and sentence us to nothing but punishment here in time and forever in eternity. I mean, the widow had a good reason to ask the court to act. We have a good reason to ask the court not to act. Because we, by virtue, by nature, we have no rights in God's court. But the fact is that God loved us so much that he worked out a plan to give us those rights. You see, he sent his only begotten Son. He sent Jesus Christ into the world in order to redeem the world. And Jesus endured the punishment of that guilty verdict that you and I deserved. And he opened God's court to all when he died on the cross and when he rose from the dead. The judge, who neither feared God nor cared about his fellow man, he finally did the right thing just to get the widow off his back. So how much more do you think God, who sacrificed his only begotten Son, how much more do you think he will do what is best for us? You see, when it comes to God, you and I, we are assured that God listens and that he surely will grant grace to those who cry out to him. In this parable, Jesus is teaching us to pray continually and to never lose heart. Why? Because his promise is that he will grant vindication and justice for his chosen ones, and that he will do so quickly. Let me ask you, what is the purpose of prayer? Well, prayer puts us in the presence of God. Prayer may or may not change our circumstances, but it does change us. You see, prayer helps us to see this world. It helps us to think about this world. It helps us to respond to this world the way that God would. And prayer gives us the strength and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And that's a strength and a wisdom that gives an eternal perspective on our current circumstances. And persistent prayer reminds us that God is working in this world, whether we see the results or not. Jesus shows us that God's justice is not rightly understood until you first understand God's suffering love. It's a suffering love that has as its aim to make the sinner whole and the ungodly just. And this suffering love is even for people like the unjust judge. It's for you. It's for me as well. Luther, when he teaches about prayer in his small catechism, he says that we are to be confident when we pray. He says, because we ask him as dear children ask their dear father. You see, we are God's children for the sake of the innocent suffering and death of our Savior Jesus Christ. And God deeply longs for us to approach him. He wants us to describe to him the needs of our lives and to tell him about the longings of our hearts. Do we do it once? Do we do it twice? No, we pray continually. We never give up. I mean, I think the most profound prayer that we have is the prayer that Jesus himself gave to us. And I know in a few minutes in the service, we're going to join together in that prayer. But the fact is, you and I, we are children of God for the sake of the suffering and death of Christ. And so we pray continuously. And we pray especially for the end of time when we will see Jesus face to face. And we pray for that final day of judgment. And after Jesus finished telling the parable, he asked, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith that is persistent and loyal?" And I think the answer that's implied in that question is yes, he will. He will find people like those mentioned throughout the Bible who prayed without ceasing. He will find faith in people like the tax collector who humbled himself and beat his chest imploring God for mercy. He will find faith in people who, like the little children, look to Christ and trust him implicitly. He will find faith in people like the blind beggar who cried out to Christ for healing and mercy. He will find faith in people like you and me. For we also are a people who stand before God, not on our own merits, but imploring Christ for mercy and leaning on him for everlasting hope. So can we pray and not lose heart? Yes. Can we pray and not give up? Absolutely. Because we know to whom we belong, that Jesus Christ shed his blood in order to ransom you from sin. And you belong to him. You are part of his family. He has won eternal life for you. And part of that eternal life is the right to open your heart to God in prayer. Right now, we are living between a world of righteousness, peace, and joy, and a world of injustice and sin and suffering. And the only thing that keeps us going is that certainty of Christ's faithfulness, that certainty of God's love. So how do we keep from giving up? Pray. And God's promises that our faithfulness will be rewarded. And what is that reward? That we will have the power to endure now, and we will have the joy of seeing justice and restoration when his kingdom comes. go away this morning knowing that God cares for you. And unlike that unjust judge in today's parable, God wants to hear from you because you are his beloved child. So pray continually and do not lose heart. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Wait in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy
Gracious and loving Lord, you bless us in so many ways. And now, dear Lord, receive these offerings that we bring. Lord, it's just a portion of the blessing you have given to us. But we pray, Lord, that they might be used for the work of your church and the proclamation of your gospel. And that through that gospel, your Spirit would work to strengthen faith and to bring others to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord, may your word not return to you empty. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Jacob wrestled with you, O Lord, and would not depart without a blessing. Grant us the blessing of your grace and faith to hear and to heed the voice of your word. Give us patience, courage, and endurance in time of trial, that we may not despair when we suffer for the sake of the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give faithfulness to pastors, that they may bear witness to the appearing and the kingdom of Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. Instill in them patience and sober-mindedness, that they may rebuke, reprove, and exhort all sinners with sound teaching. Grant preachers and hearers a fervent desire for the truth of your word, that we may not be led astray by our passions. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, guide and protect all families. Grant that husbands and wives might live in faithfulness to each other. Bless mothers with children, all children, and all who bring children to baptism and nurture them in the faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy One, bless our President, the Congress of these United States, our Governor, and all elected and appointed officials of government. Guide them to promote good and just laws for the benefit of all people. Give them integrity, that they may serve the highest good with their abilities. Bless those whose sacrificial service regularly protects and defends us here and abroad. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, because you neither slumber nor sleep, deliver us from evil. Especially we beg you to keep the lives of those who face sickness and injuries and troubles. Especially, Lord, remembering in our prayers, Don and Alice, and Margaret, Bernetta and Bill, Gary and Bryston, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Chelsea, Norma and Ron, Tom and Vicky, Jema and Brenda, Judy and Joni and Kevin, and all of those others, Lord, who we name before you in our hearts. Gracious and loving God, we also offer our prayers of thanksgiving this day. Lord, we remember in our prayers Teresa Saxton as she celebrates her birthday this week, and we thank and praise you for the gift of life and the blessings that you show to her. We also raise our prayers of joy and thanksgiving with Terry and Cheryl Bosselman as they celebrate their anniversary this week. Gracious Lord, we ask your continued love and blessing to be upon them, that you would be an ever-present part of their home, that you would strengthen them in love toward each other and in love toward you. And unworthy though we are, we come, O Lord, at your own invitation, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are the people of your promise and the sheep of your own flock. Grant us to receive with faith and in repentance the blessed food of your Son's body and blood, and bring this Holy Communion to bear fruit in our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, teach us to pray with persistence because you love us. Always provide for us and promise to give justice to your elect who cry out to you day and night. Grant us faith that wrestles with you but trusts that you remain in control. Do not let us go until you have blessed us with forgiveness, guidance, and eternal life with Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, as you have promised, keep safe our coming in and our going out from this time forth and forevermore. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Would you please rise? Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We join now in singing our closing hymn, 924, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing.
Save your love shall call us from our strife.